Blog Talk Radio.
He loves to hear the wind sing as it whistles through the pines on mountain peak. And he loves to hear the raindrops as it slaps to the ground in a magic melody. And he smiles in sweet approval as the waves crash to the rocks in the harmony. All creation joins in unity, sing to him majestic symphony. But his favorite song of all, they sing the holy, holy is the Lamb.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Heaven choirs in harmony lift up praises to the great I Am. Listen, as a newborn soul sings, I have been redeemed.
Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Gossiping the Gospel with Mike and Pam Matthews. We're delighted that you're with us today. If you want to locate us, we can be found on focusonheaven.com. Again, that's focusonheaven.com. We're delighted today to bring to you what we consider a great message about NFL great player Reggie White. And Reggie White, I feel like I know him personally. I've received a personal letter from him, and I know about him living in Wisconsin, being part of the Green Bay Packers. And so we want to bring to you a message that probably is hidden from most people in regards to Reggie White, number 92. And so we could tell you a lot about Reggie White, but let me just give you sort of the first little overview of Reggie White from the standpoint, you know, he was born December 19th, 1961 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And many of you know that he died on December 26th, 1 week after the date of his birth, but in the year 2004 in Huntersville, North Carolina. And Reggie was considered to be one of the best defensive linemen in the history of the NFL. In fact, Reggie White was voted to the Pro Bowl on 12 straight seasons. And he set all kinds of records that are, what, from a spiritual perspective, insignificant, but from a physical perspective, very significant. He was, again, 11-time All-NFL. And an interesting fact is that he was only the second player in NFL history to record a minimum of 10 sacks in each of 11 seasons that he played. And he was the fastest or quickest player in league history to record 100 career sacks. And again, there's a whole record of his accomplishments on the NFL field. But that's not the purpose for today. It's really to honor Reggie White in a special way because of what he did in the spiritual kingdom that a lot of people don't understand. Now, before we go into more detail about what happened in Reggie White's life and how it ties into the kingdom of heaven, we really want to talk about the power of a name. What's in a name? And also talk about his personal calling. So when you think about names, Reggie White, the name Reggie actually has a lot of different meanings. If you look across the numerous meanings of Reggie's name, it means thunder in Arabic. It means stimulating in Hebrew. It means bright fame in Scottish. It means raven in German. And it means breeze in Arabic in a different standing, but also means rabbi. and means rain, thunder, and sun. So just the name Reggie itself has some significance. I don't want to focus on that. And then his last name, White, of course, purity. Thinking about purity and what Reggie White stood for. But the nickname or surname that he was dubbed with throughout his NFL career was called the Minister of Defense. Double meaning, of course, because of his defensive end position he played, but also because he was an ordained minister. And throughout his walk, he definitely had the attitude of a minister of defense. But I believe from a spiritual perspective, he was a minister of the kingdom of God that few people recognized. So when you look in Scripture, for instance, God gives people surnames, not nicknames. Men generally give nicknames. For instance, my father gave six of my brothers and sisters and myself as the seventh or one of the seven kids nicknames, and they weren't always favorable. And that's what mankind does, gives nicknames, but God gives surnames. And so Reggie's surname, in a way, was the Minister of Defense. But if you look through in Scripture, he gave Jacob the name Israel. He gave Sarai the name Sarah. He gave Abram the name Abraham. And he continued to call people by different names because of their calling upon their life, or the calling upon their life. And in fact, if you look in Isaiah chapter 45, he gave Cyrus a surname as well, and did many miracles through Cyrus because of the surname that he was given. So there's something about a name that we should never take names lightly, or what we're called, because it does have a significant meaning. And again, Reggie White, the Minister of Defense, much greater meaning than anyone could have imagined, probably even Reggie himself. So as we take a look on purposes in our life, and again, giving you a background a little bit about when somebody's given a name or a purpose, their calling is different. So Pam, you have something to share found in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Why don't you go ahead and read that?
Yes. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
There we go. So the in that particular passage, God is speaking to Ananias about the Apostle Paul, whose previous name was Saul. And Ananias says, but Lord, don't you know Saul is a killer of Christians? And God says, no, you don't understand. His name isn't going to be Saul, it's going to be Paul. And I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so anybody who's called of God in a unique way, such as Paul, or Saul first, being named of Paul, has to suffer great things for the kingdom of God. So when we take a look at Reggie White's life and you reflect back on it now, say, wow, Reggie had to suffer a few things during his lifetime because he was chosen of God to be a specific person. And so that's what I want to talk a little bit about before we give you more details about the spiritual significance of what Reggie went through. And so when we take a look, Reggie White probably, like many people, didn't know his fullest calling until he matured in life. And it was great to be called the Minister of Defense. And everybody looked on his physical attributes, his large size, his quick speed, his accomplishments, the number of sacks, the Super Bowl that he was acclaimed to be in the foundation of that 1995-7 teams that won both NFL championships and the Super Bowl in those years. And so Reggie White definitely had the physical makeup, if you would, that people recognized. But as his spiritual life continued to grow, I would probably call Reggie White the greatest prophet to ever step in the state of Wisconsin as part of the Green Bay Packers. And possibly Reggie White could have been one of the greatest modern-day prophets that people never recognized. Reggie White truly had a calling upon his life to bring people together and to bring redemption to humanity, but a lot of people missed out on that. So in order to understand and appreciate that, you first have to understand the unique role of a prophet. And the unique role of a prophet is to bring instruction and correction to humanity at times. People love the fact that when a pastor comforts you and consoles you and ministers to your family, it's great to be a pastor. But when a prophet steps in at times, they can be used in that regard of bringing comfort and joy and encouragement. But generally, their main mission during their duration on earth is to bring instruction to humanity to help them connect with the kingdom of God. Let us give you an example. Pam, why don't you read Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll talk about the prophet named Isaiah and what he had to do for humanity, starting in verse 1 of chapter 6.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and ye indeed perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate.
Well, thanks, Pam. And as we stated, that's found in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. But to summarize that, is Isaiah first had to respond to a call, and God had to find somebody who was willing to be called, and Isaiah agreed to that. And Isaiah gets touched by God, but as part of that call, Isaiah had to go tell an unfavorable message of instruction and correction to the people of Israel, and that was that they were going to be desolate, things would be destroyed because of their rebellion. And that's the role of a prophet in many cases, is to say something that's not favorable. And so now you know why there's not many people who are true prophets who are out in the public scene, because their job is not necessarily favorable. So other definitions or job descriptions, if you would, of a prophet. In fact, the Old Testament had another name for prophets at times. They were called seers. And a seer was somebody who could see mental perceptions of the purpose of God. So they were able to understand what God was doing among humanity, and they tried to articulate that to the people. And again, most of the time, it was not favorable. In fact, Jesus himself says that you stone the prophets. Most prophets die because of the word they have to speak is not favorable to people. But the great news is, when the world finally comes to its end, from God's perspective, how we live today anyway, it says in Revelation chapter 10, I'm reading verse 7 of chapter 10, it says, But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be fulfilled as he's declared through his prophets. So the mystery of the gospel is not going to be that which was spoken by a pastor, a preacher, a teacher. It's going to be that which was spoken by prophets. So Reggie White has a great reward coming to him, in that the words he spoke will come to pass because of the words spoken by a prophet. Isaiah, the same thing. John the Baptist, the same thing. They have great rewards coming to them because they were willing to stick out their neck and speak the words that God wanted humanity to hear during their particular time, and now they'll get rewarded for that. And so again, a man of God, a prophet was also called man of God, who had an extraordinary call of God upon their life. And that's part of the frustration for many people, because when somebody like a Reggie White begins to speak up and begin to try and represent God as an extraordinary man of God, the world gets confused. They get frustrated with that person because they don't want to hear anything that would not be perceived as optimistic or encouraging. But the fact is, a man like Reggie White or Isaiah or John the Baptist is only trying to help humanity, but they misperceive what's being said. And that's why most prophets, if you look back on their life, had to suffer at some point or another. So, for instance, I think of Reggie White. Ended up being invited to the Wisconsin state legislation and said some things that maybe, you know, people could perceive as the wrong things. They weren't evil or they weren't bad, but it only took a couple words to come out of his mouth, and the next thing you know, Reggie White was on the downside of his popularity because he spoke up and people did not like him to speak up. And so all his accomplishments on the football field soon got diminished because he started understanding he was called to try and help humanity. The problem was humanity didn't know that, or humanity did not want to accept that at that particular time. So again, the knowledge that Reggie was a prophet is extremely critical as you look back on his life. And for those of you who just sort of forgot about him in the state of Wisconsin because he had such a great influence there, you need to recognize the fact that he hit a point where he understood his calling as a prophet. In fact, Reggie White got to the point where he no longer went to what we would call modern-day westernized churches because Reggie understood that most ministers were only trying to use his name for their own fame, for their own positioning. And Reggie had to finally come to that conclusion that as much as he visited churches, spoke in churches, as his understanding of his own call as a prophet came to light, that it was a separation, actually, of what a modern-day church would go through. And I know there's other people, modern-day prophets, who no longer are welcome in churches because they don't have the kind, soothing words they once did. And that's just the nature of the beast, if you would. When you're called to be a prophet, you're called to be a prophet and speak forth the word of God into the future. And so again, Reggie White, his physical presence, his stature on the football field overshadowed his spiritual zeal, and people were able to accept it up to a certain point. So as long as his physical abilities and qualifications overshadowed the spiritual, he was just fine. But as soon as his spiritual life began to overshadow his physical life, he was in trouble. And that's the story of a prophet. As soon as their spiritual life gets out on the forefront and overshadows their physical life, they start running for their life almost because it's not a favorable message that they're generally called to speak, especially in the day and times that we live in. So again, as time goes on, a prophet's true color and their nature begin to be seen, and people get either confused or concerned on what's happening in their life. Let me give you an example right out of Scripture. Kim, read Luke chapter 2, verse 52.
And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
So there you have it. Just as I was trying to explain, is that Reggie White's physical stature grew, his accomplishments were great, and it always overshadowed the spiritual side. As Pam just read, Jesus was the same way. He grew in stature, and he found favor with God, and he found favor with man. That was his life. That was an amazing life, but it soon changed. In fact, if we just go two chapters over into Luke chapter 4, verse 24, listen to the change that took place.
And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country."
And read the next verse, Pam.
"But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land."
So Elias actually is Elijah. So Jesus is comparing his own change, and now that he's being revealed on who he really is, the greatest prophet of all, if you would, and the Son of Man, and now he says, you know what, I'm not recognized in my hometown. And in fact, Elijah had a tough calling as well. In fact, the heavens were shut up for a while because of the prophet Elijah, and his calling now is being revealed. So again, back in Luke chapter 2, Jesus was growing in favor and stature, and that overshadowed his ultimate calling. But as soon as his ultimate calling started overshadowing his physical nature, he was in trouble. It was inevitable that he was going to go through some trouble. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to do a transition when we come back. I was giving you some background on the call of a prophet so you can better understand what Reggie White went through And what happens on the day he dies is phenomenal. And a lot of people never saw it coming. But in the heavens, God saw it coming because God orchestrated Reggie's life itself. He called him his name, Reggie White, but also gave him the surname, Minister of Defense, for a reason. We're going to take a break we believe is honoring to Reggie, and that is the Song of the Redeemed. Transition. Again, we talked a little bit about Reggie White so far, but we also talked about the role of the prophet. And the prophet illuminates things, exposes things, but speaks words of instruction and correction because they're trying to represent the kingdom of God. And so when the earth or the world or a society or a group of people start straying from God too far, he generally has a prophet intervene and begin to start speaking words of truth. Unfortunately, in the modern day, when a person's called to be a prophet, a lot of times they don't know it. They don't necessarily understand their full calling, and therefore they get confused themselves and often frustrated. And so again, we want to now stay focused a little bit on Reggie White, some significant facts. Again, he was an ordained minister, and he was an associate pastor, and he had a senior pastor over him in the Tennessee area. So if you go back into the mid-90s, well, Reggie White was a football player in the Green Bay Packers. There were a lot of church burnings taking place. And go back in time, and we've sort of forgotten about them, but there were literally, I think, hundreds of church burnings that took place. In fact, Reggie White shares a story that I'm going to read from you out of his book called In the Trenches. And he says that because the Packers had just won the Super Bowl the year before, they were actually going to be playing the Miami Dolphins. And so I'm going to read here. It says, on Labor Day, the leader of the free world dropped by. That would be President Clinton in that day. President Clinton came to the field during practice, chatted and threw some footballs around with a bunch of the players and got his picture snapped with us. There was an election campaign going on. So there were a lot of reporters and camera people around. As President Clinton and Reggie were walking to the field, they had about a minute or so to chat. And so they chatted about the torching of Reggie White's church. For those who remember, during the church burnings, Reggie White's church, where he was an associate pastor, had burned down as well. And so he started talking. He said, Mr. President, I said a lot of churches are still burning to the ground, and we're no closer to solving the problem than before. I'm concerned that the whole problem is going to move to the back pages of the newspaper and people will forget all about it. I have some ideas that I think could help the situation with these churches, and I have some concerns about the way the investigations are being handled by the federal agencies. Reggie continued on to said, oh no, President Clinton said, I'd like to hear your thoughts about it, Reggie, and tell us what we should do. Reggie replied and said, sir, I'd appreciate if you would call me personally so we can follow up on this when you get back to Washington, D.C., instead of passing it to someone else. But he never heard back from President Clinton. And the churches continued to burn, but Reggie really had a passion and started raising money for those churches in that day. But I also believe, as Reggie was understanding his own calling, Reggie knew that something was not right with the churches, but couldn't identify it. But through time, that's why Reggie began to not attend certain churches, because they were only using his names. He was, in essence, as a prophet, exposing the church of the modern day. In fact, Reggie's pastor, senior pastor, took the money that was raised for the torching of the churches and spent it on cocaine. Yes, you heard me right, that it was a devastating blow to Reggie to find out that his own senior pastor had taken the money that was collected and spent it on cocaine. But as a prophet, you start recognizing what God is starting to tell you about things that are unfavorable. And Reggie began to deal with his own calling and his own purpose. A very short time later, that was the visit that Reggie had. He was invited. Remember, he was well-famed because of his physical stature and accomplishment, so he was invited to the Wisconsin State Legislature, where Reggie thought he could use the platform to help people. But ironically enough, as soon as he began to speak, trying to help people in a different kind of language, it was very ill-received. And within a matter of days, Reggie's fame sunk rapidly. TV commercials or sponsors pulled away the commercials from Reggie, and the rest is history. Reggie went on a different sort of what we would think is a tailspin. But the reality, remember when we started the show, I said, every great prophet has to go through a time of suffering. It's inevitable. Remember, Pam had read in Acts chapter 9 that God would have to show Paul the great things he would suffer for his name's sake. So here's Reggie White. Great, growing in stature, favor of man, favor of God. And Reggie begins to speak out about church burnings, about the dilemmas that are facing society. And before long, he was not favored or liked. Reggie, again, was perceived as withdrawing, but the reality was God was calling Reggie onto something much higher. And some people may say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. That's your choice. But the reality is Reggie White was called of God to help save the day, if you would. And he did it in the physical realm, the football realm, in charity causes. But as soon as it got spread over or moved over into the spiritual realm, it wasn't going to be the same any longer. His calling was now going to start exposing things that were happening in the spiritual realm of the world. And so again, Reggie White, let me back up and say something that's very important. Reggie has a lot of accusers, and a lot of them attend churches. A lot of them are pastors, in fact. In fact, it's documented that many pastors told people not to follow along with Reggie because he was being turned over to Judaism, which was not true, by the way, but that's what people had thought, because Reggie, again, was being withdrawn from the circles he was hanging around at that particular time. And so Reggie had his accusers, But the fact is, Reggie also had his supporters who were more spiritual than the people he had been hanging around. In fact, he spent one full year being mentored by somebody from Israel, not for Judaism, but the fact that he might better understand Scripture in the original Hebrew that it was written in. So the greatest story that was told was actually after his death. It was told by ESPN. That's right, the TV channel ESPN had a great tribute to Reggie White, but they included all the spiritual elements. No other church or no other minister stepped up and tried to explain what was happening with Reggie spiritually. So imagine if you're Reggie's wife or his children and they're hearing all these people that are supposedly religious bad-mouthing their dad or their husband because Reggie did something unordinary. God was preparing Reggie for something far greater. God was allowing Reggie to understand the fullest context of Scripture and what his life would entail. In fact, I'm going to cut to the chase and have Pam read from Psalm chapter 116, verse 15.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Amen. So Reggie White was so caring for humanity that Reggie, according to his mentor in Israel, Reggie was willing to give up his life if it meant salvation for other people. That's a great kind of love for humanity. But aside from that, God himself speaks through Psalm 116:15 and says, you know what? It's precious in my sight when a saint wants to give up their life and die for me. In fact, if you want to do a study on Psalm 116 in its entirety, it's actually describing the call that is placed on evangelists or apostles or prophets in the life that they're going to live. But God encourages them in that very verse 15. It says, hey, don't worry about the suffering you're going to go through because it's precious in my sight when you die. Whether you die early or whether you die late or right on time, is that it's precious in my sight. So Reggie White, as we all know, at the age of 43, did die. It was December 26th, 2004, where Reggie White passed away. And again, from a medical perspective, it was a cardiac, not a cardiac arrest, but some kind of arrhythmatic thing in his heart that was combined with having sleep apnea, and Reggie went home to be with the Lord. But now we catch up with the story told on ESPN. ESPN, again, airs it. Go out to ESPN and do a search. You'll find, I believe they still have the text out there of that show. And they just did a phenomenal job. In fact, they played Amazing Grace 5 different times during that documentary about Reggie White. And it was Reggie White probably up in heaven laughing to say, here I am, how precious in the sight of the Lord is that my death, when now on ESPN around the world, people can hear about the amazing grace of Jesus Christ in their particular life. And so on ESPN, they have a little clip with Sarah White, and they tell the story 1 week before Reggie White's death. He has a dream. And in the dream are two Hebrew words. And the two Hebrew words, after he wakes up and he studies those words that were in his dream, it means Jehovah redeems. In other words, Jesus, another name, there's power in a name, Jehovah redeems. Jesus redeems, or God redeems. That was Reggie White's call. He was a prophet telling the world that God redeems people. God redeems humanity. And ESPN honors that by playing Amazing Grace right in front of everyone. And so it was Reggie's greatest sermon, if you would. He's up in heaven. ESPN is airing the story, saying, hey, everyone, Jehovah redeems. It's the greatest treasure in the world, if you'd pay attention. So let's pace this backwards a little bit. Reggie White, I mentioned early in the show, he was born on December 16th, 1961, and he dies on December 26th. Let me get the dates correct here because I want to make sure I'm accurate on that. Yep, Pam, you're correct. It was on December 19th was when he was born, 1 week or 7 days, the number 7 for perfection. He dies on December 26th, but he gets his dream 7 days before he dies of Jehovah redeems. What a birthday gift to know that Jehovah redeems. And oddly enough, if you go back to the to that day, December 26, 2004, when Reggie White died, the earth shook. That's right, I said the earth shook. What happened on December 26, 2004, in addition to Reggie White passing away, was it was the Indonesia tsunami. The whole earth shook, documented that one mountain physically moved in the ocean because of the shaking of the earth. So at the death of Reggie White, God speaks and the earth simply responds. 1 week prior, God sends out a sign of Jehovah redeems, and that's the reason why no animals died in the Indonesia tsunami. They heard it coming. They saw the signs that God had put in the heavens, and that's why in the book of Acts it talks about that in the last days there'll be dreams and visions, but there'll also be signs and wonders in the heavens. And so here all the animals, probably on December the 19th, they start thinking, wow, something's happening. There's a sign in the heaven. There's a sign in the ocean that something's about to happen. They got into higher ground. Reggie White was on his pathway to higher ground himself into the throne room of the kingdom when that tsunami came. Unfortunately, many people died, but many people never saw the warning. And scientifically, historically, we know that the warning signs were there, but people didn't heed them. What a story to tell by the life of a prophet named Reggie White, that God gives warning signs. God gave the treasure of redemption for all of humanity, but unfortunately, many people never hear it and never see it coming. So again, in summary, when a prophet such as Peter, Paul, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Job, they enter the world scene only to try and help humanity. Unfortunately, humanity misperceives or gets it confused, and they feel offended. And they begin to do the things they shouldn't do against the very person who's trying to help them. Reggie White, in his great love for humanity, just like Jesus Christ's love for humanity, asked God for some kind of sign, some kind of, if you would, treasure for humanity that they would not perish. And God honors that and said, Reggie, in a way, how precious in my sight is your death. And Reggie White, I guarantee, is up in heaven interceding for people on earth today. He does what every great prophet does. He emphasizes to God humanity's needs. And that's why when we jump ahead again to Revelation chapter 10, when it's all wrapped up, God says, you know what? The mystery of the gospel will be fulfilled as spoken by my prophets. So Reggie White was a prophet, and he spoke to people. He spoke to people, and it was a mystery to them because they were more offended by what he might have said that they didn't perceive as being correct. That is a huge honor to be called a prophet. A huge responsibility, though, because the world does not like prophets. Thus, many people die in the role of a prophet. The 12 disciples who became prophetic because they had walked with Jesus ended up dying martyr's death as well. A lot of people don't know, but the people who signed the Declaration of Independence died poor or murdered as well because they were prophetic over the country called America to bring its independence. So there's a great price to pay when you want to be a hero in the spiritual realm, when spiritual change takes place. And so we can all applaud physical attributes. We can all recognize, we can give favor when we see people growing, maturing, doing accomplishments for the world. But when they start speaking out in the spiritual realm, do we take offense? Do we get offended? Do we start bad-mouthing? And I tell people every chance I get, in fact, I'm privileged, a friend of mine gave me a Reggie White jersey, that I wear the Reggie White jersey. And people ask me, oh, Reggie White. Yep, that's Reggie White. And I get to tell the story about the Indonesia tsunami happening and how it was on the same day that Reggie passed away. What an honor, what a privilege to be Reggie White. And so that's the purpose of today's show. We wanted to make sure that we aired this and paid tribute where it's due. It's not right that ESPN should be the only place that should give tribute to Reggie White. And so we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to pray for people today, because Reggie would be honored in that way to say, wait a minute, my dream was that there's a treasure for people. There's a treasure in heaven, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus can enter on the scene in your life and can give you full redemption. And as we're airing this, Reggie would have never known. He knows it now. But the story of Ted Williams last week, the homeless man, also now has his own surname or nickname called the Golden Pipes or Golden Voice, but also known as the homeless man, that he was fully redeemed from the world's perspective. He went from being homeless. Now he'll be aired, ironically enough, on ESPN today doing the macaroni or Kraft macaroni commercial. And so what a tribute today to see ESPN. There's something about ESPN. They seem to be more spiritual than most churches, unfortunately. Maybe ESPN understands more of the spiritual things, and I don't think that's true. Rather, I think ESPN is less offended than the church is. The church becomes too offended with a voice that would speak up in today's world to warn people that Jesus Christ redeems, that Jesus Christ is coming back for those who are without spot or wrinkle because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to spend just a few moments. I'm going to pray first, and then my lovely wife Pam is going to just pray sort of a prayer of healing for everyone listening today. And again, we do this in honor of Reggie White, his family, but more importantly, we do it in the name, the authority, and power of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege today to honor a dear saint, Reggie White, a saint that's at home with you now. Lord, we thank you that Reggie White walked this earth. Reggie White set the example for so many people. Reggie White raised his family. And now, Lord, we pray for the world as Reggie White did and still does. We pray for their redemption. We pray that more people like Reggie would have dreams and visions, that the dreams and visions would help them understand that their time may be up or their time may be prolonged, whatever the case may be. But the reality is that Jehovah or Jesus redeems humanity, that Jesus saves people by the blood that was shed on the cross for everyone in the world. Lord, right now we pray for your Spirit to descend upon people, that they might be convicted, that they might understand more thoroughly the call of a prophet, that they might understand the purpose of a prophet. They might understand that the purpose of Jesus Christ to die on the cross was that they might be forgiven. And upon their confession that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, they too can be redeemed. No different than the physical, Ted Williams this week being redeemed, they can be redeemed spiritually. They can be redeemed emotionally, and therefore they can be redeemed financially. Lord, forgive us for always focusing on finances. Forgive us for always talking about money. Lord, let us talk about the greatest gift of all, salvation. Let us talk about the redemptive nature that was bestowed upon humanity all because of what Jesus did. And again, we honor the fact that prophets have gone before us. Prophets will go on behind us. But in the end, the mystery of the gospel will be unveiled as the word spoken by prophets. Again, we honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And Lord, I just pray right now for those who are called to be prophets, Lord, who may not fully understand their calling, who are frustrated, who are confused, who just maybe don't quite understand that they are being called to speak truth to the world. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would help them understand, Lord, that you would give them a peace about their mind, Lord, that even a dream, Lord, that would help them understand that they do have a calling, Lord, that you do want them to step forth and to speak truth, Lord. It's not about pleasing people, Lord. It's about saying what you want them to say to warn America, to help the world. Lord, it's about the whole world. It's about humanity. So, Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give them that peace and that you do have the direction for them. Pray for other people who are confused, Lord, that and confusion and fear bring depression. Lord, we just pray a miracle on their life right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would heal their mind, Lord, that you would fill them with joy. Lord, fill them with joy that they've never had before, that they would know that joy came from you. So, Lord, right now we just thank you for what you're doing for people, Lord, and to people's minds, Lord, that you're putting them at ease. And, Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Pam. And again, we just want to encourage you to take a step back, listen to what we've said, go out to ESPN, do a little bit of research on the life of Reggie White, and pray for his family. They lost a beloved father and husband, and the world lost. So again, we just want to bless you. Go out to our website, focusonheaven.com. Again, that's focusonheaven, all one word, .com. And send us an email if you have any questions that or concerns in any different way, or you just want prayer, or you want a dream interpretation, you give us a call or email us. May God richly bless you.